This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day when a piece in the New York Times, of all places, bears the headline, Why Ukrainians Believe They Can Win. Is that realistic? Is it simply trying to encourage resistance against an inevitable Russian victory? And is President Biden tonight going to speak about a new axis of evil? And what would that axis of evil include exactly as he attempts to rally the American people for what could be some difficult days ahead, particularly regarding the all-important economy as a political issue? To talk about all of this, there's nobody better than my friend David Frum, who was a speechwriter for President George W. Bush and is often credited with coining the phrase axis of evil, which got quite a bit of attention in a State of the Union address. David, it's an honor to speak to you. He's now a staff writer for The Atlantic and one of the an author of 10 must-read books on everything from how the Republican Party can build an enduring majority to the 70s and a history of the 70s, which some people think have some relevance to today. David, I hope you and your family are well.
We are well, and thank you for the hospitality on your show.
Oh, what a joy to have you. If you were to talk about, or if President Biden were to talk about, an axis of evil today, I mean, other than Russia and Belarus, what would be a third point of the axis of evil?
You know, the thrilling story that the president can say in his speech tonight is to point to the extraordinary unity all through the world against this horrifying act of aggression. And this unity has tremendous power. You know, you cited that story in the New York Times. I'm no kind of military expert, and I can't say anything about the conditions on the battlefield. But what I can say is that the sanctions that have been levied against Russia and Belarus are the most devastating economic sanctions and financial sanctions in the history of the world.
And what will that mean for a typical Russian who's minding his own business, trying to make a living, trying to provide for his family? That individual is going to be suffering, no?
That individual is in for a very hard time. And by the way, so are individuals everywhere, because around the world, the sanctions will have the effect of making food prices and fuel prices go up for everybody. But the impact on Russia will and Belarus will be much, much greater. And the core of it is, I wrote a long article for The Atlantic explaining this, and it's a little technical, but we'll just get to the bottom line. The core effect of it is that the ruble, the currency in Russia, has become effectively worthless. That you can use it to buy things that are entirely produced within Russia. You can pay your rent with it. You can pay your taxes with it. But the moment you need to buy anything outside Russia, the ruble no longer works. Now, there's a funny story about a loudmouth Russian broadcaster who owns a big house in Italy, right next door to George Clooney's house, on Lake Como, I understand. And he was ranting and raving because he's doing a renovation. And he can no longer pay his contractor, can't pay his plumber, he can't pay his local property taxes, because he cannot convert his rubles into euros anymore. There can be no transactions connecting the ruble to any other important currency.
Okay, so what, as you say, this is going to have an impact on ordinary people. What is the impact on Vladimir Putin or his attempt to impose a puppet government in Ukraine?
First, it creates tremendous unhappiness at home with his middle class. Putin's offer to the Russian people was always, you leave politics to me, and I will guarantee you a middle-class standard of living that more or less approximates what you'd see in Europe, at least in the big cities it would. That promise promise is now over. The second big difference is the Russian economy will gradually grind to a halt. The financial system will stop working, and the banks will stop being able to lend, and there won't be fruit salad in the Four Seasons Hotel in downtown Moscow. And Russia will be completely isolated and be forced back into the only way to cope with this kind of worthlessness of the ruble, being forced back into a more or less planned, controlled, centralized, autarkic economy like the old Soviet Union, and where you trade with people through barter and not with money.
What about the if this is a desperate situation, and it sounds like it would be, what about those threats that we keep hearing about nuclear war? There was a Russian broadcaster apparently last night who said that the West was going to be blown to smithereens. I don't know what the Russian word for smithereens is. And he said with 500 nuclear warheads. Now, that's just a fraction of what the Russians have, right? But
I shouldn't laugh because as absurd as the way they talk is, it's something really to worry about. And indeed, one of the things I wrote about when I write about this matter, these financial sanctions may actually be too devastating. And so it's been good to see that the EU and the United States working closely together have not gone 100% of the way to the destination they could go. There is still, they're leaving the Russians with important things to lose. And there is still some foreign currency flowing into Russia. There are still some banks that are on bankrupt. But what it means on the battleground is, look, so long as the Russians are making something that they can represent to their people as progress on the battlefield, people will suffer a lot. But if the army begins to dissolve, one of the other ideas I've had is Ukrainians should feel a lot of publicity about the quality of food they are serving to Russian POWs and Russian deserters. And they should make like, you surrender, and if we can't show that you've committed war crimes, you surrender, we give you a meal, we give you a bath, and then we give you a train ticket and a 36-month work visa to the European country of your choice. Want to go to Spain? Want to go to Germany? Want to go to France? Or England, which is outside the EU. But 36-month visa, and you can earn money in euros and pounds instead of the worthless rubles back home, and try to make that army just melt. And those two things, pressure at home and a loss of success on the battlefield, that creates the situation where Putin's power begins to wobble.
There's a lot of talk about the hit list that Putin had prepared with Volodymyr Zelensky at the very top of it. Do you think that is something that the next few days should bring as the capture and execution or disappearance of leading Ukrainian freedom fighters?
Well, I don't want to overstep what I know, but that sounded like a plan that was premised on a lot more success than the Russians have had so far. I mean, they had certainly, back in 2014, when they annexed Crimea and captured little bits of eastern Ukraine, they did do things like that to people who had objected to their rule. I think they imagined they could repeat it, but, you know, before you cook your chicken, first you have to catch it. And catching these people is turning out to be rather more difficult for the Russians than they, I think, assumed.
What else do you think, if Ukraine is the overwhelming theme of the State of the Union address, and I think it has to be, what else should the president emphasize?
The president needs to get Americans ready for the reality that energy prices and food prices, already rising, are going to rise more. Vladimir Putin timed his attack. There's a lot of questions. Why did he move when he did? People make political points to go to Biden, to go to Trump. I think he waited until energy markets were tight. That if you tried to do this in 2018 and threatened the Europeans with a cutoff of their gas, they'd have laughed at you because the world had lots of very, very cheap gas in 2018. Since 2021, gas has become a lot more expensive because of the cyclical nature of the energy market, and that gave them the power he needed. So in an already tight energy situation, already tight prices for natural gas and oil and food, they're going to rise more. And the president needs to warn people that this is coming and to help them to understand why it's coming and why they're going to need to be patient, because this is nothing like the prices others are paying to defend freedom.
David Frum, staff writer for The Atlantic, former speechwriter for President George W. Bush. We will be right back on The Medved Show.
1-800-955-1776. The Michael Medved Show.
Washington Policy Center, WPC, is Washington State's champion for free market reforms and is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. It's led the effort against state and local income taxes. Its research and policy analysis are relied on by lawmakers, media, and citizen activists for accuracy, fresh perspective, and to expose the political manipulation of data. Our state needs WPC more than ever, and we need you to be part of it. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. Is our country's distinctive power and prosperity the product of some happy accidents or criminal activity, or is it God's hand on America? That's the title, actually, of my most recent book. You can get a hardcover copy, personally signed by me, together with a full audiobook, and it comes to you together with an MP3 player so you can hear it anytime you want. It's all at a reduced price while supplies last. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for God's Hand on America, look for that audiobook and hardcover book bundle.
Introducing the all-new My Slippers from MyPillow. 2 years in development. Designed to wear indoor, outdoor, all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. And made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, you can get 50% off the new My Slippers. They're super comfortable, and you'll like them so much you'll want to get pairs of them for the entire family. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener's square and use promo code MEDVED. That's promo code MEDVED, M-E-D-V-E-D. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Giza Dream bed sheets, the mattress topper, and towel sets. Call right now 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280 and use promo code MEDVED. Or go to the web at MyPillow.com. The all-new My Slippers from MyPillow.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hard-working people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
There are amazing things going on in the world. There's a piece by Michelle Goldberg, a very liberal commentator, but it's in the New York Times. It says, Why Ukrainians Believe They Can Win. And the subheading, Idealism Has Been a Powerful Weapon in the Resistance Against Russia. And basically, what she writes is about her conversations with leading figures in Ukraine who are all enormously confident that they are going to win this war. And there's a strong feeling that if Ukraine wins, and I'm sure it wins, that can bring the end of both Putin's and Lukashenko's regime. That's the evil regime in Belarus as well as the one in Russia. That's what a Ukrainian philosopher said. He referred to Alexander Lukashenko, the strongman president of Belarus, who is reportedly preparing to send troops to Ukraine to fight alongside Russia. They've already been sent, and they apparently, according to people who've been captured already, they're even less informed. A number of captive Russian soldiers have apparently confessed that they were not even told when they were sent in the direction of Ukraine that they were going into a war, which probably shows a level of organization that isn't admirable. His confidence amazed me, says Michelle Goldberg. She's talking about the Ukrainian philosopher who says he's sure he will win, his side will win, his country will win. But it appears to be widely shared across the country. According to a recent poll, 70% of Ukrainians outside of Russian-occupied territories think they will prevail against Russia. Alexandra Ustinova, a member of the Ukrainian parliament who is in Washington working on diplomatic outreach, said that Putin thought he could easily seize control of her country. Ukrainians have proved that we're not going to go down, and we do believe that we will win this war, she said. This means that even if a democratic Ukraine was not an existential threat to Putin before, she writes, it is now, since its survival would mean his humiliation. In 2019, I was intrigued by how earnestly Ukrainians I met spoke of liberal democracy. Perhaps they'd won it so recently that they hadn't had time to grow cynical. Their idealism, she writes, has turned out to be a powerful weapon. They've shown older democracies, think the United States, what it means to fight for their own putative values, leading to an almost ecstatic global outpouring of support. The odds remain against the Ukrainians, she writes, but their conviction has given them a chance. And then just moments ago, there was apparently a question-and-answer segment alongside the Polish Prime Minister, Mateusz Morawiecki, and Daria Kalenik of the Anti-Corruption Action Center said she is from Kiev but had recently crossed the border into Warsaw, told the newspaper The Independent about her tearful plea to Boris Johnson, because she's in Britain, that while he and NATO fear a World War III, such a disaster had already begun for her and her countrymen. It's moving. Listen to her plea to Prime Minister Johnson of Great Britain.
Britain guarantees our security on the Budapest Memorandum, so you're coming to Poland. You're not coming to Kiev, Prime Minister. You're not coming to Lviv because you are afraid, because NATO is not willing to defend, because NATO is afraid of the World War III, but it is already started. And these are Ukrainian children who are there taking the hit. You're talking about more sanctions, Prime Minister, but Roman Abramovich is not sanctioned. He's in London. His children are not in the bombardments. His children are there in London. Putin's children are in Netherlands, in Germany, in mansions. Where are all these mansions seized? I don't see that. I see that my family members, that my team members are saying that we are crying. We don't have where to run. This is what is happening, Prime Minister.
Look, it's very, very tough to hear that and not be moved. But there's another very thought-provoking and I think profound piece by Mark Hanna, who is a senior fellow at the Eurasia Group Foundation And he writes, the U.S. shouldn't interfere while Putin loses in Ukraine. And he's talking about taking the long view, which, of course, is something President Biden is going to have to try to do tonight in a very dramatic State of the Union speech. It's this evening at 9 p.m. Eastern time. In his speech announcing the invasion of Ukraine, Vladimir Putin referenced the United Nations Charter, praised the high values of human rights and freedoms, and claimed that his war represents the only opportunity to protect Russia and our people. This from a man regarded by many American commentators as an arch-realist who makes hard-headed observations about the world as it is and cunningly employs power to reshape it according to Russia's interests. In Mike Pompeo's appraisal, the Russian president is a very talented statesman and very shrewd. In reality, writes Mark Hanna, Mr. Putin's latest war of aggression is motivated by a toxic mix of nostalgia and fantasy that seems likely to prove self-destructive. Mr. Putin has so far behaved like a man blind to the true stakes and probable consequences of this conflict. And the U.S., which is currently recovering from its own bout of military overreach, has the opportunity to revive a spirit of clear-eyed pragmatism that has been absent from major national security decisions in recent decades. If Mr. Putin's actions are driven by an exaggerated view of his country's power and its insecurity, President Biden's response must continue to be informed by a realistic appraisal of the ways the U.S. can and can't defend its security interests and help the Ukrainian people. And what he is saying is that despite the pleas of people like we just heard, that the United States cannot make a serious commitment to, for instance, a no-fly zone over all Ukraine, which would mean direct military confrontation with Russian aircraft, that the United States can't move toward boots on the ground in any sense. And basically, he quotes Napoleon, saying, never interrupt your enemy when he's making a mistake. Is that a rousing call to arms? No. But is it smart? We will get to that and more on the Medved Show.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
A miles-long Russian armored convoy nearing Kyiv on Tuesday, as well as heavy shelling of Ukraine's second-largest city, Kharkiv, has brought death and destruction to civilians and soldiers on both sides of the conflict. Peace talks on Monday were fruitless. Ned Price from the State Department lectern.
As the people of Ukraine continue to fight with courage and pride for their country, we will continue to provide them the assistance that they need.
A $350 million defense package was approved over the weekend for Ukrainian resistance fighters. More than a half million Ukrainian refugees have arrived in neighboring countries since Russia attacked. The U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee early on Tuesday called for a complete ban on international sport participation for Russian and Belarusian athletes and officials over the invasion of Ukraine. President Biden will give his State of the Union address at 9 p.m. Eastern tonight as lawmakers once again raise fencing around the Capitol. USA Radio News.
I need more time to file my taxes. Help.
On IRS.gov, you can use IRS Free File to get 6 more months. Or you can submit IRS Form 4868 by the April deadline. If you owe taxes, you can make an electronic payment and get a filing extension with no need to submit Form 4868. Go to IRS.gov for details. But remember, an extension of time to file is not an extension of time to pay what you owe.
This is how we do every day. We keep grinding. And if you want to come and text us,
if you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is Mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check NHTSA.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
On the Michael Medved Show, there's breaking news. The United States and other world powers have decided to release 60 million barrels of oil from their reserves. This is a move intended to reduce gasoline prices that have climbed rapidly in recent weeks, as everybody has noticed, according to the International Energy Agency. And this breaking news from CNBC, Russian oligarchs move yachts as the U.S. looks to hunt down and freeze assets. Super yachts owned by Russian billionaires who have ties to President Vladimir Putin are on the move as the United States and its allies prepare further sanctions on their property following the invasion of Ukraine. So where are the yachts going to go? Now, I'm serious. If you're, there was the, a plea we heard from Poland, from the Ukrainian who's fled to Poland, and she had mentioned Roman Abramovich, who has many assets in the United States. He has assets in Britain. He owns the, I guess he just gave it up because he was afraid of being confiscators, and he owns the Chelsea football team in Britain. And again, if you're moving from Britain and the United States, I mean, I guess you go to the Caribbean somewhere, those countries as well do not sanction what is going on here. And in fact, the people who look at the world have been, frankly, startled by how humane and decent and unified the world reaction has been. Listen to Richard Haass, who is a former head of the Council on Foreign Relations, and a leading commentator on international relations. He was on MSNBC with Joe Scarborough. Clip 15A.
He is isolated. He also is what I would describe as a serial underestimator. He was of the United States at the beginning of this crisis, clearly was of Germany and Europe, clearly was of Ukraine. He holds all of these entities, shall we say, in contempt. He's now doing what he's doing. This has clearly gone much worse than Putin ever imagined. It's going more slowly on the ground, which is one theater. It's going worse at home with all the economic as well as political pushback.
Okay, and there's more about what Putin is likely to do. Richard Haass on MSNBC, 15B.
My hunch is he escalates, not with nuclear. I think nuclear is a bluff. It's a way to intimidate. But I can imagine him doing a couple of things very quickly. One is introducing more forces. Two is opening up the Belarus front. And third, and probably most, doing what he did in Syria. Using munitions that are essentially conventional terror weapons, these so-called thermobaric bombs that put fuel in the air before an explosion and kill all sorts of innocent people indiscriminately. He basically commits war crimes every day in Syria. My hunch is he's going to be tempted to do it in Ukraine. So I think we have to be prepared for that. Things will get worse, I would predict, on the ground. Then, if that still doesn't give him the breakthrough, and it's possible it won't, then it gets really interesting. Whether he does show some interest in peace talks, not because he's a changed man, because of the pressure back home.
Okay, and how many Ukrainians have to die for that to happen? How much the destruction of Ukrainian cities, many of which are historic and had their beautiful segments and historic districts that could be entirely destroyed. And the crazy thing here, and again, and I think this is part of what drives the Ukrainian public to resist Putin so strongly, is what is the crime that Ukraine is accused of committing? Because there is zero evidence of it. Nowhere. He says that Ukraine was a threat to Russia and they were planning genocide against Russians. There are Russian-speaking and Russian-ethnically Ukrainians who are fighting Putin literally to the death now. And it's not a small number. There's a Ukrainian member of parliament who was pleading for help for that no-fly zone, which has been talked about. Listen, this is again on MSNBC on Morning Joe, 18.
What is the red line? What is the red when you actually step in? How many children have to die? We already have almost 20 children die. We have more than 300 civilians shot to death, shelled to death. We just need to know the number in after which the international community is going to step in and protect our kids. And I understand that everybody is afraid of Vladimir Putin, but he's been promising us not to go into war. And he did. We were in a neutral country in 2014, and he invaded Ukraine. We did not provoke him a week ago. He's still invaded. If he wants to invade, if he wants to go into war with the United States, with NATO, he will do that anyway. Because he's a crazy psycho that is now a terrorist, a number one terrorist in the world. And he does whatever he wants, no matter how the treaties work, whatever he says, whatever he promises.
Okay, and if she is right that he is a crazy psycho, well, Theodore Dalrymple wrote a piece for the City Journal yesterday. And he writes, when I watched Vladimir Putin with what the Russians so graphically call his tin eyes justify his invasion of Ukraine, I thought, as did many others, that he looked a little deranged. Denazification, indeed. Had he failed to appreciate that Ukraine, not noted throughout its history for its philo-Semitism, had elected a Jewish president, and that by a large majority, thereby suggesting a major cultural shift in the country? It then occurred to me that Putin looked rather puffy in the face, and I wondered whether he could be taking steroids. He admits later in the piece that he has been taking steroids, and talks about some of the problems psychiatrically about that, just in a medical sense. It is hazardous, however, to ascribe actions that we do not like to madness. This is for two reasons. First, the diagnosis may be wrong. The apparently mad may, in fact, be sane. And second, madness can have its own rationality. Indeed, the mad of strong character can often take others along with them. They can persuade others that their paranoid view of the world is correct. This is especially so when they possess levers of power over people of lesser character than themselves. The power of the paranoid over their followers, he writes, is, however, fragile, as is that of those who rule principally by fear. Separated for a time from contact with the worldview of their leader, or if the hold of fear is suddenly broken, the power collapses. The madness of the madman is suddenly revealed. The fearful suddenly realize that it takes two to be ruled by fear. The mad, or fear-instilling megalomaniac, then lashes out. For he knows that, like the late Nicolae Ceaușescu of Romania, he is either powerful or he is dead. There are now over 660,000 Ukrainians who have fled their country. We will be right back on the Medved Show with more about the big vote on abortion that occurred last night in the U.S. Senate. That coming up on the Medved Show.
He's a crazy psycho.
Michael Medved. 1-800-955-1776. The Michael Medved Show.
The pain was very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and I was having a hard time walking, and the pain was very bad. And since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and the pain has gone away. I really am walking pain-free. So I just want to recommend this to anyone who has severe pain or any type of pain. It is really a miracle product.
Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain, the whole world to gain. michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, or call 833-654-PAIN, Relief Factor. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
On the Michael Medved show, there was a big vote last night on the abortion issue in the Senate, where the Democrats wanted to take up a vote on what even the New York Times describes as sweeping abortion rights legislation, as Democrats sought to put lawmakers on the record on the issue in advance of the midterm elections and a coming Supreme Court ruling on access to abortion. In other words, there's no reason except political advantage that the Democrats wanted to put this to a vote. The vote went fine, actually, because they needed 60 votes to sort of force this onto the Senate agenda, and they fell 14 votes short of the 60 needed to bring the so-called Women's Health Protection Act to the floor for consideration after the House last September passed it on a very narrow party line vote. One Democrat, Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia, joined all the Republicans in opposition to beginning debate on the measure. The whole idea of the measure was that they are anticipating that not that Roe v. Wade will be scrapped or it will be overturned altogether, but that it will be reinterpreted in a reasonable way by the Supreme Court of the United States when they announce their ruling, which is expected to be sometime June or July of this year. The outcome was anticipated, but Democrats were determined to hold the vote as members of both parties draw battle lines over what is expected to be a major election year issue. The conservative-dominated Supreme Court is set to rule later this year on a case that could undermine or overturn the landmark abortion decision. By the way, if you look at what the case has to do not with the Texas law, which the Texas law, remember, doesn't have enforcement by the states. It would have enforcement by encouraging people to sue privately. The Texas law has a lot of problems with it, but the biggest problem is it basically would attempt to ban all abortions beyond 6 weeks. And 6 weeks is tremendously early, and that clearly would require a complete overturning of Roe v. Wade. What Roe v. Wade says is that you are allowed to put restrictions on abortion after signs of viability. And that's why the 15 weeks figure in the Mississippi law that they're looking at, that first of all will put the United States in a position where we are closer to our allies than being sort of the lone ranger with the only states that basically authorize abortion all the way to birth or closer to the later stages of abortion. Now, why does that make a difference? Because part of the whole basis for Roe v. Wade was the idea that the baby developing in utero is not a human being until a certain point, and therefore you can't argue about its protection, balancing the, quote, protecting the rights of the mother. And then there's the whole problem of creating an abortion right that is even hinted at anywhere in the Constitution or the statute law. Nancy Northrup, who's president of the Center for Reproductive Rights, gave a particularly idiotic response to the vote last night. And again, the vote wasn't close. It was overwhelming, considering they need 60 votes. They didn't get it. They got 46 votes. People are counting on the Senate to do what the Supreme Court will not, said Nancy Northrup, president of the Center for Reproductive Rights. Well, what a stupid thing that you expect the Supreme Court to change abortion law all across the country with one sweep. The point is that the idea that we need to have a consistent abortion law in every single state, it would not be natural. It would not be a reflection of the public will if the abortion law in Mississippi were identical to the abortion law in California. They're very different states. And if the law, through the legislative process, is supposed to reflect some of the feelings of people who live in that state and cast their votes, then it makes all the sense in the world to go back to this figure of 15 weeks. Now, this, again, goes back to a much better report about this attempt to change things, which goes to figures that the Planned Parenthood itself has put forward, is that the overwhelming majority of abortions in this country are today performed early. How big a majority? The Planned Parenthood announced that of all the abortions in this country that are performed, 95% of them take place before that 15-week cutoff. In other words, what all of this fight is about and the desire to preempt a Supreme Court decision is the idea of 5% of all abortions that take place after that 15 weeks period of time when, and people who know who have gone through pregnancies, 15 weeks is an advanced pregnancy. And is it honestly too much of a burden that changes everything, that destroys the entire architecture of U.S. healthcare law or U.S. constitutional law, to have states like Mississippi saying that, okay, 95% of the abortions that take place across the country will still be, quote, protected by this misinterpretation of law. But 5% were the children, and even that 5%, there are exceptions. Exceptions for the life of the mother, exceptions for fetal abnormalities, which are included in the Mississippi law. The moves are on now by GOP-led chambers, state legislatures in Florida, Arizona, and West Virginia that mirror the Mississippi law at the center of a case before the U.S. Supreme Court. This from a report from the Wall Street Journal. The Florida House of Representatives advanced it. Now, this is a law banning abortion in the first after the first 15 weeks. In other words, banning just 5% of abortions that take place after 15 weeks. This is the stunner that, again, you're not going to hear acknowledged, I think, on much of mainstream media. The stunner is the vote in the Florida House of Representatives. They advanced this bill banning abortions after 15 weeks, on a vote of 78 to 39. That was passed just after midnight on February 17th. And that means there were Democrats who voted for this more reasonable middle ground abortion bill that reflects the basic approach of Western European countries, countries like France and Britain and Sweden. And you can go across Europe. I have no idea what the abortion policies are in Ukraine or, frankly, even in Russia right now. But the idea that that the United States would be an outlier, not in the direction of banning abortion, but in the direction, supposedly, of basically allowing abortion at all times. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that President Biden is aiming to rally support for his agenda with lawmakers and voters. He seeks to tamp down a war in Ukraine, guide the U.S. and its economy through the COVID-19 pandemic, and help buoy Democrats in November's midterm election. White House aides a few weeks ago had envisioned the evening as a chance to draw attention to plans to fight inflation, promote accomplishments, and restore some sense of normalcy. But with Russia's invasion of Ukraine last week, the speech will now take place against the backdrop of the largest ground war in Europe since World War II. So what is likely to happen with Biden's speech and the Republican response in this greatest nation on God's green earth?
Have you heard about vine-to-bar chocolate? It's the winemaker's chocolate, the world's first chocolate made with well-vined Chardonnay marc from the beautiful coastal vineyards of North America. Gently pressed grapes are harvested after juicing, dried, and finely milled, and carefully blended into the finest dark chocolate. The Chardonnay marc contains highly beneficial grape nutrients, flavanols, and has a natural sweetness that flavors the luscious dark chocolate. Mouth-watering, flavorful, delectable dark chocolate goodness with Chardonnay sweetness and beneficial nutrients, and it's alcohol free too. It's Vine to Bar Chocolate. Order some today at vinetobar.com. That's VINETOBAR.com. Cold shipped to your door, it's Vine to Bar. Vine to Bar Chocolate. Visit us at vinetobar.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.